says director. Paul Vardani, WB2 VUK, was only age 65 when he passed. In his honour, every net in the 2009 New York City Marathon was announced as, "This is, whomever at the mic, of the WB2 VUK Marathon Network." AMSAT Argentina reports that its LUSAT 1 LO19 ham radio satellite stopped transmitting CW telemetry on 437.125 MHz on or around October 20th. LU1ESY says that he last received a signal on October 11th, after which he noted a drift in the downlink frequency beyond the expected Doppler shift. AMSAT Argentina says that it hopes to revive LUSAT to allow it to celebrate its 20 years in space next January 23rd. It also adds that it welcomes any reception reports of the now out-of-communications ham radio bird. What is the world's first radio station? Although AM radio broadcasts were tested in 1906 and used for voice and music broadcasts up until World War I, it wasn't until 1916 in Wilkinsburg, Pennsylvania, when 8XK began regular scheduled broadcasts. 8XK would receive the first official broadcasting license in 1920 with the call sign KDKA. But there's more to this story. At 6 p.m. on November 2nd, 1920, the U.S. presidential election returns were announced from a shack in East Pittsburgh by Leo Rosenberg, and KDKA became the world's first commercial radio station. More on the story is at the National Museum of Broadcasting website at the URL found in this week's printed Newsline report. To celebrate the 100th anniversary of inventor Marconi receiving the Nobel Prize, a special on-the-air event from Sweden is planned. The idea is to listen for and work 10 different special event SI prefix stations between November 9th and December the 10th. The calls to listen out for are SI0GM, SI1GM, SI2GM, SI3GM, SI4GM, SI5GM, SI6GM and SI7GM. Other Swedish stations may be using the special prefix SI, but only the stations I've mentioned count. Each anniversary station counts once per band. No endorsements. Logs go to the address found in the printed edition of this week's Newsline report. The International Naval Contest 2009, sponsored by Portuguese Navy Ham Radio Club, takes place starting at 1600 UTC on Saturday, December 12th, and concluding at 1559 UITC on Sunday, the 13th. Modes used are only CW and SSB on 1840, 2015, and 10 meters. For more information, by email, please write to inc.contest09@nra.pt. NVX, word that DL7 VSN is once again heading to Tanzania and will probably be active as 581HS, this time from the Kilimanjaro area. He was expected to begin his operations on November 3rd, but the length of his stay was not mentioned. Activity will be 160 through 10 meters, using mainly CW and RTTY. If all plans go well, he may also get to activate his fifth Islands on the Air group from this DXCC entity for one or two days. DL7VSM says that he will also be in the Serengeti and Tarangire National Park starting November 18th and hopes to be active from these areas as well. QSL, Vera's home call sign. G4OHX will be active as 5R8HX from Madagascar between December 28th and January 3rd of 2010. His operation will be mainly using CW. He'll also be active portable ZS5 between January 4th to the 17th. QSL Direct only via his home call sign. If you're looking for a contact with Singapore, then listen out for 9V1JP, who's a new operator from there and has been active on 20 meters. James says via QRZ.com that he's in a very challenging environment and is trying hard to put out a decent signal on HF. He also says that in the QSL area, he is in the process of designing them and they should be good and ready to begin sending out in the spring of 2010. JK2VOC says he'll be active from BA4TB station in China, this between November 27th to the 30th, including the CQ Worldwide DXCW contest on November 28th and 29th. QSL via JK2 VOC. Lastly, YV5 IAL will be portable CE0 from Easter Island between January 8th and 11th of 2010. This will be a QRP portable holiday style operation. Activity will use the PSK31 digital mode on 14070.15 kHz from 2200 to 0100 UTC daily. He may occasionally be on 40, 30, 15 meters as well. QSL this operation via his home call sign. And finally this week, if you or someone you know are having reception problems on your new digital television or converter box, the problem is likely with the antenna. Most rabbit ear or looped indoor antennas are insufficient for DTV reception. Unfortunately, a lot of folks are not allowed to put antennas on their roof. With a solution, enter Naomi and Noah Miller. They are the preteen children of FCC OET attorney James Miller. With a little help from Dad, the two kids take you on a Watch Mr. Wizard-like journey into how to homebrew your own DTV antenna using the magic of science found in everyday living.
First, you'll be needing a good length of 10, 12, or 14 gauge copper wire. You'll also be needing a tape measure. Then you'll be needing some wire cutters. You'll also be needing some screwdrivers if you do need. Well, okay. You can get one, two, or three.
And probably and something to attach your antenna to, too. So yes. A piece of wood, right?
The antenna that the Miller kid built is based on the Gray Hoverman digital TV antenna design, but without the rear reflector. It, in turn, is rooted to the design of the late Doyard R. Hoverman, who created and did the early work on this design long before the days of computer antenna modeling programs. More on this design can be found at www.digitalhome.ca/OTA/superantenna. You can see the video of Naomi and Noah Miller building their homebrew version of it on YouTube at the URL in this week's printed amateur radio newsline report. Trust me when I tell you that it's a few of the best moments you'll spend online this week. With thanks to Ellen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, the CGC Communicator, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, the Southgate News, and Australia's WIA News. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, P.O. Box 660937, Acadia, California, 91066. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF at the editor's desk in Los Angeles, I'm Jim Meachins at L2BHF in Auckland, New Zealand, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2009, all rights reserved.
Reflector 9126, link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126. Reflector 9126, link clear.
Welcome.
You are currently connected to node number 9126.
I do auto connect enabled.
Net tonight at 8:30. Net tonight at 8:30.
Activity time out.
Reflector 9126, link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the New England Reflector 912.
Channel 6.
Net tonight at 8:30. Net tonight at 8:30. Good morning. The time is 5 a.m. Net tonight at 8:30. Net tonight at 8:30. Net tonight at 8:30.
K2UPS, K2UPS, W2H Civic.
K2UPS, W2H Civic.
KAQ Mobile. Alpha Charlie. Alpha 2 Victor, listening.
Net tonight at 8:30.
C2B is tunnel bound and clear.
W2HCB.
Morning, John. Morning, morning. How's it going?
About a block and a half from work. I'm running real early this morning.
Ow. Not me. I'm running a little late this morning.
I'm about to enter Central Park to give you an idea.
Nice. I'll just get on the expressway at 53. Yeah, 53. I'm getting on the expressway at 53. I just fueled up.
So it was a slight break. Or it slowed to 30. Other than that, it was speed limit all the way.
Yeah, well, you know, one person sneezes, Charlie, and it's all over.
But I'm sitting at a traffic light, so it didn't cause any issues.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm headed downtown.
Not a down call. It's just routine service and a couple of inspections to start my day. Had one run into Manhattan yesterday, just as I was getting all my radio operators into location. At that run out by me in Lindenhurst, that I hope for the Warriors run.
Well, yeah, you had a good day for it. Sorry you had to work the OT. Listen, I'm going to say 73. I'm a couple hundred yards from the parking garage, so you have a good one, KC2V.
Talk to you later. Have a good one, W2HCV.
Workmobile, westbound headed.
So tell me more about this Warrior thing. N2EB.
Oh, John, I tell you, it was some event. It was some event. I put the word out, I needed some radio operators. Well, when all said and was done, for a 10K and a 5K and a fun run, I wound up with 43 operators showed up for this thing. Not bad for a guy who never did one of these before, huh?
Yeah, that's a lot. A lot, that's good. Somebody said to me, they were bringing food and said, I heard yesterday, Wounded Warrior, that's what she said. That had nothing to do with what you were doing, right?
Who said?
And this woman, on her way to church, I guess. She was headed in that direction. So I was like, you know, complete stranger, and I said, and she just volunteered. She had two shopping bags.
Got me. There's the Wounded Warriors and Hope for the Warriors. Hope for the Warriors directly benefits the Afghanistan and Iraq kids coming back and their families.
Oh, I get it now. Okay. Wow. All right, so, I don't know, and I had, she was the only person that had something like that. I don't know, maybe there was something else. I did see a guy with a bag, so maybe some people were doing it, some people weren't. I think most didn't even know about it. So I got going a couple of minutes earlier, I just decided to leave 5 minutes earlier to ensure that I get into work by 6:30.
Yeah. I gotta make my stop by 7. If I make it by 7, that's great. If I don't, I don't care. Yesterday morning, I was there at 5 a.m. I had a meet with the Suffolk County PD people and fire marshal for the town of Babylon. And race committee.
find out what assignments my guys were getting, how many different areas we had to cover, and I had enough to cover almost all the spots. I had a couple of my guys cover three or four spots all right next to each other. It's like every block had a barricade, you know? So it was like no-brainer to have a guy cover three in a row.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, and everybody behaved themselves as far as the motorists? They tried to like, oh, let me move the barricade and try to go through that?
Only one operator had an incident, and it was rectified right away with the Suffolk County police officer showing up within 10 seconds.
Yeah, I tell you, man, see this town that I'm in. I mean, they don't care if the parade's, like, you know, a block or two blocks away. I gotta get home. I gotta, hear all kinds of excuses like, but I live right over there. Yeah, but I can't allow you through this ward order. But how am I gonna get home? Walk. And, I have to get to work. Or I just left work to go for coffee. And I'm on my way back with this hot coffee. Sorry. Then I had one where she said, I have to get to the hospital. We're in the wrong direction. You get them all, John.
How about I have to feed my cat?
That's probably the best one. Yeah, my cat's gonna die. Oh, you hear about that lady with all the animals? Oh, man. People are like, all around the neighborhood, that lost pets, they're like, now they're figuring out where their pet went.
I missed that one. What was that about?
Well, this woman from different neighbors had complaints to the police department, I guess, that she was being cruel to animals. I guess somebody, they heard the dogs or, I mean, as far as dogs, cats, birds, I don't know if there's anything else, but they said any pet that wandered into the grounds or even if she found a pet, she would take it home and torture it, have her kids torture the dog or the cat or the bird, and then kill it and then bury it. And they found, like, the remains of at least 20 dogs buried in that backyard.
Ah, gross. Anyway, that's gross. So, John, here's a funny thing. You'll probably be saying if you get QSD or CQ, hopefully they put the article in when we send it in. But my daughter, KC2TMA, and one of my club members, Kevin, AB2ZI, went up in the chopper yesterday above the run. And my daughter got to sit in the co-pilot seat of the chopper. And they went, and they got over the start line, they followed the race around, they hovered over for a little bit, and then the pilot said to my daughter, "So where do you live, Jennifer?" And she gave him the address, and he flew over the house, and he tilted the thing nose down so she could get a bird's eye aerial shot of the house. And all her friends were outside in the street wondering why there was a helicopter hovering right over the house. Because when we got home later in the day, all the kids were like, "There was this helicopter, and he was hanging out over the house. Jennifer, you had to see it. It was red, white, and blue." She's like, "I know, I was in it."
N2ZEP.
Carry recognized. Wow, that's probably some. Kids probably said, "Yeah, sure, sure." No, but that's fantastic. That's fantastic. That, and I'm surprised. flies, like, say, get sick. I know some people, they say, oh, you know, I'm not going up in the helicopter because I get sick or whatever. And she's brave. She's good. Excuse me. She's great. Anyway, Gary, good morning. Over to you, and you give it a John. HCB, this is Ed Sweeby.
Good morning, John. Plural. Evil Seed, when I was listening to your story about the woman who was torturing the animals, I thought the punchline was going to be that you were cooking them up into stews.
Net tonight at 8:30. Net tonight at 8:30.
Good morning, Garish. And, John, she was fine. My buddy Kevin, he turned green. She wrote a whole story how great her stay in the air was, even up to the point where Kevin, AV2ZI, turned green and they had to turn around and come home.
There you go. She had to be, growing up right now. That's great. I tell you. That'd have been great if you had a camera and took pictures. Somebody had to do it. Was your wife nervous that about letting your daughter onto a helicopter? I know my wife would be, probably be. But, anyway. No, Gary, no stew. Over to you. Just send Tweeby.
Number one, WTC.
WTC recognized. John, our chocolate boy's wife didn't even know it until after the fact, probably. You know, John doesn't tell his wife everything. WTC, hand it over to HCB.
Morning, gentlemen. Good morning to the Johns. Good morning to Gary. How is everybody this lovely morning? HCB, hearing how you talk, I guess everything went well yesterday. Glad. And helicopters are fun. Been up in our helicopters a bunch of times. Just a little nerve-wracking once in a while. Over to you, John. Good morning.
Good morning, Eugene. Sorry you got called into work. Well, guess what, Eugene? After I got everybody sent into their locations and their assignments and everything, and I brought up the net, I got called into work. So I missed the whole entire event. I made it back in time to help break down everything that we had set up and go to lunch with the guys, but I missed the bulk of the event. And, DB, 119 photos were taken. So we got pictures of her outside the bird with her HT and her call sign hat. Pictures of her at the controls of the helicopter, of which I found out last night the guy let her work the stick while he worked the pedals on the other side for about 2 minutes as they were flying back from our neighborhood back to the airport. And we got lots and lots of pictures. Lots and lots of pictures. So all my pre-planning worked out very, very well. I had confirmed about 28 operators I had confirmed, John. And the word had spread that I was looking for help, and next thing you know, I get across the street to the diner from Town Hall over there, and there had to be 40 cars with antennas. One of my other members, he came back from Florida and he pulled in the parking lot and he's like, oh my God, I thought you needed help. But everything ran smooth. That was a report I got from my guy that took over his net control for me. So that's a good thing. And we cleaned everything up. Our trailer made its debut. It did a great job. All the officials were impressed with it. They took pictures of the officials in the morning by the trailer. So, we got the big thumbs up from the town of Babylon. Not bad for a bunch of rednecks, you know. EB, W2HCB.
That's great. I don't think we ever see that like for a lot, you know. Appreciation is always goes a long way. It sounds good. Well, it's always good to know that, you know, you could leave and everything runs smooth. I mean, she set it up. It's all, I guess, in the planning stages. She's put the right people up there, and that's it. So that's good. Must have been a fantastic weekend for you. Gary, over to you. And good morning, Eugene. That's to EB.
And before you pick it up, the comment about my wife not knowing. My wife drove her to the airport and waited at the airport for her to come back.
Okay. So I'm curious to know whether or not any of the hams had any difficulty with pedestrians and or motorists as they were playing amateur traffic control officers. Eugene, over to you.
Thank you very much, and I'm curious to know what airport they fly out of. I know all the news copters on TV come out of Edison, the old GM airport that's out there. I forget the name of it, but they fly out of there. So, over to you, Gary. John.
Eugene, they come out of the sleepy little airport known as Republic. This was the personally owned EC-5 120 turbine chopper. Color scheme, red, white, and blue, owned by Patrick Dolan. EB?
Hey, there you go. Wish I had one of those. Get the back and forth to work, I could land right on the roof. Oh, wait a minute. They just did the roof. I don't think they'd let me over. Imagine that. I know my neighbor's daughter, I think she's like in one-fifth partnership in an airplane, in a small airplane. So, but I can't imagine a helicopter. Plus the maintenance on that thing. It's something. There you go. Gary, over to you. Going over Metropolitan on a Jackie Robinson.
You take a look at flying, and there are so many things you got to know. And then you take a look at piloting a helicopter. It's even more complicated. I can't even imagine how much instruction you need to learn how to fly one of those things completely. Eugene?
Yeah, helicopters are absolutely ridiculous. They so much mechanical stuff. John, I think it's, if I remember correctly, with maintenance and fuel and pilot costs and everything, it's about $1,000 an hour to operate a helicopter. I think that's the figure that they use. So it is very expensive. Quick helicopter story. Right after 9/11, when 587 went down, I went up in our helicopter, and this is when the skies were closed. And we go up to go to Rockaway to circle around it and see what was going on. And just as we're lifting off, the pilot says on the intercom, he goes, you might see some jets around us. The Air Force is in the air. He goes, it's still a no-fly, but we're squawking a special code that they know we're friendly, so it should be okay. And I'm like, gee, thanks. Over to you, John.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. My wife had called me when they were pulling into the airport, Gary. Pat showed up and keeps the thing on a big dolly, so the guys can move it in and out of the hangar for him, you know. And he gets looks, he's coming from his car, he's got a big bottle of Windex, and he's got a big roll of paper towels, he cleans all the windows on the chopper, right? He's got Jennifer over there holding the Windex bottle for him, and he's telling her he's nothing to be worried about. Kevin's over there, he's a nervous wreck. He's like, it's going to crash, it's going to crash, we're going to die. Jennifer's laughing her little rear end off. It was pretty funny. So he put Jennifer up in the front. Kevin was in the back. He was strapped in, and when they were circling around the course, he let Kevin open up the door of the chopper. They were only about 400 feet up. And Kevin had his really big, expensive camera with him with the big giant lens, and he got some really good shots, aerial shots, of the runners on the course and stuff. Got a lot of good shots of Jennifer at the controls of the helicopter and with the headset on and laughing. So one of my guys in the club is going to write an article about a young ham's involvement in public service, going back to a couple of events she did prior in the year leading up to this one, with the photos from this one. Evie?
You gotta scan that in and put it on the web. Put it on the reflector. Still belongs to that reflector. Alright. Fantastic, man. And, it's like, thank God transponder was putting out the right code, because, I hate to get a lock on or something like that, and then zip it up. But, that's pretty, I think I'd be pretty nervous going up at that time. Especially when the Air Force is flying all around. Anyway, you guys take care. Have a great morning. And we'll see you again tomorrow morning or this afternoon. And to the NEP to get it, this is N2EB. I'm going to be clear. This is it. Demonstrate.
John, before you go.
Yeah.
Were you at a restaurant in Merrick on Saturday night?
Yes, I was. I was, future son-in-law's birthday. Hey, small world.
Yeah, I thought that dopey-looking guy, was you. I wasn't able to see the, electrodes on the neck anymore. So, I didn't say anything. All right, 7-3, I'll let you go. Eugene, over to you.
Hey, why don't you just tap out Morse code for them like the guys out by me do when they're in the same restaurant? This way the wife doesn't know what they're doing.
Sneaky. 73, John, have a good day.
Good, I'm glad everything went well. How long did the race take, John?
They had the pre-race ceremonies at 9:30. I had my guys on post by 9. When they were starting pre-race ceremonies, I was headed out to the work truck. The gun went off, I believe, at 5 to 10. And by 11:35, it was all done.
Okay, so you only had to ruin traffic in the area for 2 hours. You know, an hour and a half to 2 hours. And all the intersections were covered, John, when it gets to you? Eugene?
Yeah, I was going to ask that same question, so you can pick it up, John. November 1, WTC Friday.
JB2NQN Mobile.
Hey, yeah, you're recognized. Loud and obnoxious in the morning. W2HCB. Gary, there was 225 intersections that needed to be covered. They broke it down. When we met with the people in the morning, they said, how many people do you have? I said, on my list, 38, but according to the calls I'm getting on the radio, I should have about 45 people. So they said, okay, here's 50 intersections for you to handle. And yes, every intersection was handled, no problem. There's the small of the runs was in the little side streets, Gary, and the blocks are very short. So I had a bunch of guys come from Staten Island, and they wanted an area where they could all be together. So I gave them this one run, and there was about nine blocks in there. Those three guys covered those nine blocks for me without any issues whatsoever. NQN, over to you. You pass it over to the guy who misses teeth.
This is KB2EN, QN Mobile. Good morning. Okay, glad to hear everything went off without a hitch. Sounds like good deal. You certainly had beautiful weather, that's for sure. I'm sure that helped. Sorry. And, Gary, I was wondering if you were in a restaurant in Merrick on Saturday night.
No, I wasn't, Steve. I just have spies all over the place. Good morning to you. And all that. You know, you never told us whether or not Jennifer was able to communicate from the chopper via her HT. Because it gets kind of noisy in those things. Eugene, over to you, N2ZDP here.
Oh, that was almost an accident there. Nice. I was wondering the same thing. I know we have trouble. I have trouble with cell phones and stuff. When you're up there, you can get a cell, but it's a little difficult. Was she able to hit the repeater? No problem, John. Over to you.
So I'll make you laugh. On the bottom of this guy's chopper, he had a plate. A galvanized plate. And you guessed it. It was for a mag mount. Unbelievable. He even had the adapter for her HT to go from the SMA to the BNC. And, I was just leaving, and I was in my truck. I heard Air One, the net control, and then net control recognized Air One, and she said, Air One is taking off. We'll advise on approach with the ETA.
Was your daughter controlling from there? Pretty cool stuff. I'll be out pictures. Gary, were you in a restaurant in Merrick on Saturday night?
To repeat words that you've told me plenty times, you come in late, you miss a few mini-dramas, Steve. You'll just have to find out later on, like the rest of the people. And that's as far as the pictures, too. It would have been really cool if the chopper was set up so that she could pump her HD into the headset that people in the choppers usually wear. Eugene?
Did you get the helicopter sound in the background? That would be really cool. There's a radio. I don't know if you guys ever heard of this radio. Probably you have. The Wolfsburg? John, you heard of that? Over to you.
Heard about it, never seen it. A couple of my guys have mentioned those radios before. But, yeah, when she keyed up, you heard... It was quite funny. I was on the road, you know. It was funny because the guy doing that control calls me. He goes, net control, the W2HCV. I go, yeah, God. He goes, stand by one to go to direct with Air One. We got in about a 10-second conversation. Her noise was a little scratchy coming into the machine, but everybody copied her. It was pretty funny. So, like I said, and Steve, there's, I believe, 119 photos that were taken from the helicopter, in the helicopter, around the helicopter, even though the photographer was puking his guts out.
Okay. All right. Look forward to seeing them. Despite what Gary says. Very cool stuff. How many runners did they have, in case you already mentioned that too, because Gary won't tell me. Gary?
I won't tell you because I don't know. But,
John, did I hear you correctly before? You told me that the, you told us that the chopper was owned by Patrick Dolan. Did he pilot it also? Eugene?
Interesting question. I'll listen for the answer. I'm going to be pulling to the big airport here, gentlemen. 73s, and have a good day. Talk to you later. November 1, WTC, you'll be clear.
Yes. Yes, Patrick Dolan is a commercially licensed helicopter pilot. That is correct. He's also a ham radio operator who saw the section manager's posting that I was looking for volunteers for this event, and he sent me an email. And in his email, he said, "Here's an unusual but really neat request. How would you like to have air coverage of the event?" And a couple of emails back and forth, and Saturday morning he calls me up and he goes, "Okay, we got the green light from the FAA and Republic Tower. We're good to go." Long story short, yes, Patrick Dolan is related to the Dolan family of Cablevision. It is one of the sons. Steve?
Alright, cool stuff. I wonder if he was in that restaurant on Saturday night at Merrick. Wow. Very cool stuff. Not the kind of stuff you'd see happen over here, you know. So obviously, you got some pull. It must have been the... I know this is sponsored by Keyboard Cookies. But you didn't tell me how many runners you had. Did you have a good turnout? I would imagine you did with the weather being so nice. Gary.
Okie doke. You know, if he's a licensed ham and he goes so far as he's got the galvanized plate on the bottom of the air, of the helicopter for the mag mount, I wouldn't be surprised if somehow he has rigged the NHT to be able to hook into those headsets. Eugene? Oh, Eugene's gone, so it's just the John.
Yeah, he's got a plug for his V8 XR. So. And, Steve, as far as runners, it was well over 1,700 runners. I know 1,700 were confirmed, but there was people showing up the morning of the race to register that didn't pre-register, and the line was enormous.
Hey, cool. Cool. So you got another feather in your cap. You know, in that red fez you wear. What's next? What's on the horizon?
I'm curious too, so I'm going to send it right over to John.
So what's next? Let's say the 19th is our general meeting. Nothing fancy, just election time. Yours truly is running unopposed as of yet. December, we got our party out there in the wilds of Bayshore, in the restaurant on the water. And then January, we're sponsoring, whatchamacallit there, HRU. Sprinkle in a couple of contest weekends that we're going to participate in. And then we're right back into the throw of things, with the April Scout Camp Parade, May at the Air Power Museum, June is Field Day, July out at Custer and Southhold, August at the Lighthouse at Far Island, September over in Babylon Village. So, we're busy. We're a busy little club for a club that's very small. I tell you. I get emails from people all over the place that contact our special event stations and can't believe that a club this small does so much stuff. Oh, man. Steve, over to you, sir.
That's great. That's great. It's like a revival. Such a small club had such a small president. That's what I thought you were going to say. Gary, were you thinking the same?
now, but I was thinking that if he gets too many feathers in the cap, it'll be bigger than he is. John?
Let me tell you something. I get grief from my vice president and my treasurer because I thank everybody for their help, and I constantly tell them if they weren't there, the club wouldn't be the way it is, and I take no credit whatsoever. And they get very upset with me when they're like, oh, you did a great job. No, 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 we all did a great job. No, no, you did a great job. No, 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 we all did a good job, you know. I do not take any credit. So, Steve, don't even go there.
I wasn't. I was just commenting on your height restriction.
Yeah, we know that you don't take credit for anything because you don't do anything, right?
Uh-huh. All I know is when I went back across the street to our trailer and I broke the news to the guy who I told him he wouldn't have to be net control because he didn't want to be net control. And I said, guess what? He's like, what? I said, I got to go to work. He goes, USOB. He goes, you owe me. You owe me. But he did a great job. It sounded very professional. And I'm just super, super happy everything went nice and smooth. A couple of comments were made by some people who were angry that they didn't organize it. And no, I won't even go there, but it was pretty funny. Because you know you got one in every group. Steve?
Roger that. Okay. Wonder how your friend the Big W feels about all this revival. Very good. And I'm sure enrollment is also going up, so everything looks positive there. Now if they can only get you to, you know, well, you don't have to go on the kiddie rides anymore. You know that height restriction? You stand by that line and they say, no, you can't go, you're too short. Maybe we could get you a waiver. Gary?
You know how in certain organizations, after you've been at your post for a number of years, they get you gold watch? Well, in John's case, instead of gold watch, they're going to get him elevated shoes. John and Giuseppe Vigian said that.
Yeah, I know who said it. Well, it's pretty funny. Steve, you would have got a kick out of this. I'm in the back of the diner there, the parking lot. Everybody's parked back there, you know? So I'm standing on the bumper of my buddy's truck. He's got a hardcover, so I got all the stuff laid out there. I'm assigning the posts and everything. And one of the guys from Manhattan goes to me, he goes, I thought you were much older. I said, you thought I was much older? Yeah, what are you, like, 28? I said, 28? I wish I was 28. He goes, no, seriously. Yeah, by your emails and the professional announcements and you know, how long you been an operator? What's your license? When you were, like, you know, a kid or something? I'm like, no. I said, I got my license 10 years. He's like, no way. I was like, well, I said, I don't know what to tell you, dude. I said, I had this one great location. I had a really great location, Steve. You ready for this one? It was the back of the famous Jensen's Deli on the west side of the building for the parking lot. This doctor from Manhattan screams, I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah, you little sneaker. Yeah, well, you know, what's the big surprise with this guy that was questioning you about your age? I mean, he finally gets to meet you. He seems like this Pee Wee Herman-ish type guy. And, of course, he's going to tell you he thought that you were older and taller and, you know, more adult. said, he meets a 32-year-old man-child. He might be shocked also. Anywho, glad to hear everything went smooth. And that you've been getting a good turnout. It's great. It sounds like it's up and coming. Maybe you get some more recruits this year from this place. This place that's back in the dark ages. Gary?
In all seriousness, John, the mark of a good leader is one who knows how to and is able to delegate authority. So the more people you get to do little parts of the job, the smoother the job becomes and the less frantic it becomes for you. And everyone gets happy because they had responsibility. One of the tricks of shutting up your biggest mouth who is detracting from you is give them a job. Then they have to shut up and work. John?
W-283. Well, I'm not even going to go there. Because me being of the better statue of moral standings, and I'm not even going to go there with that person. It's just something that stays in-house, and that's it. And Steve, yes, our club is a little busy club out there in Lindenhurst, and, it is what it is. The more people that get involved, the more interesting the club begins, like any organization. So, you look at the things here. The Great South Bay Club. Yeah, we go out. We do a lot of HF stuff. We do a lot of HF stuff. I think our club and Limewalk are the two. I mean, Limewalk's got the biggest membership. Then you got us, and there's other little clubs. Two main clubs on the island: the Limewalk and Great South Bay. There's no doubt about that. As far as membership, so. I'm just fortunate I got guys that want to do stuff. You can't ask for more than that, Some guy mentions, why don't we get a trailer, and next thing you know, everybody's throwing money into the hat, and next thing you know, we're buying an enclosed trailer for the club. Who would have thought? I mean, years ago they tried to do it, and they got shot down. So. Then the other thing is people are in shock about is that we actually have money in the bank right now. Usually September there's no money in the bank and they're struggling to pay the insurance bill and everything else. So, I guess we did okay. Oh man, I'm over here by Junction. I'm not moving. Steve, W2HCB.
Yeah, well, I'm coming in for a landing too. So I'm gonna sign, but congrats on everything you're doing. One heck of a job there, Mr. Kieferman. And nobody can take that away from you. Not even the big W. Because I know. All right, 7-3 guys. Have a good one. Enjoy the beautiful day. It's supposed to be like yesterday. KB2NQN Mobile. We'll catch you later. Gary?
AC2JKX. 736. Peter, I am about a mile or two, mile and a half from the Midtown Tunnel, so I won't be with you long. But John's here, so why don't you pick it up and give it over to him?
Good morning. Since it's, only a brief honor. We'll pass it to John quickly.
Morning, Peter. How you doing? W2HCB. So we're behind Gary. Anyway, I gotta make a quick phone call, Gary. Peter, I'll be back in a couple of minutes. I gotta call my customer. W2HCB.
7-3 John, because I'll be in the tunnel by the time you get back. When I get out of the tunnel, if you can make it, I'll switch over to the work machine, Peter. I'll have another 2-3 minutes on the other side of Manhattan. Half a mile from the toll plaza, so this will be my last on this frequency, N2ZEB clear. But we'll QRT if you're going to. Well, very good. I'll head over to the work machine and wait for you to leap for the fly like a trap when you reemerge.
N2UZD listening.
I could stay working on the cigarette lighter. Just got a nice, lot of amp.